I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28, we're going to read verses 3 through 6 as we get started this morning. We're going to look at the question, who will we seek? Who will we seek? 1 Samuel 28, verse 3, says, Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. When Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we can come now and we can open your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have to open that each day, to spend time with you, to understand more of who you are, to understand who we are and our need for you. Father, this morning as we look at who Saul sought in time of need, pray you'd help us to learn from that and determine who we're going to seek each day of our lives. Pray you would encourage us and challenge us with your word this morning. I pray that you would be honored and glorified through what is said. Pray you give me clarity of speech and thought. Your word would be brought forth in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've seen before, the Philistines were a thorn in Saul's side. Whenever he wasn't chasing David, he was fighting the Philistines. And once again, we see the Philistines gather themselves together against Israel. The Philistines are in Shunem. The Israelites are in Gilboa. If you look at a map, Shunem was a little north. Gilboa was south of that. Not that far apart. But as the two armies settle into their position, Saul looks across to the camp of the Philistines and fear sets in. I remember playing football in college. Yeah, I did. And we weren't very good. And I remember one particular team that we played, and the guys were huge. I could relate a little bit to the 10 spies that went into Canaan and saw the sons of Anak and said, we're as grasshoppers in their sight. Compared to the Anakims, Israel felt pretty small. And I remember that same feeling playing this particular team. It didn't help that I saw their roster before the game, because I realized that 195 pounds, I was going up against guys that were 270 pounds. And they were in much better shape than I was, and my fears were not unfounded because the scoreboard showed that at the end of the game. They were bigger, they were better than we were. Saw this host of the Philistines, and just by the use of the word host, we get the idea that the Philistines were bigger and better prepared. You think of the word host, you think we read in a passage this morning about God and the Lord of the hosts. God is God of all things. He says he's God of all hosts. It's like the expanse we can't imagine. But Saul looks at this host of the Philistines, and what does he say? He was afraid. He was scared. We even see in the early years of Saul's reign that the Philistines were superior and that they kept Israel from making their own weapons. You look at that chapter 13, verses 19 to 22. Israel had to go down to the Philistines to get things sharpened. They didn't have their own file. So Saul looks at this vast army spread out against them, and he's afraid. He's fearing for his life. He's fearing for Israel because of this vast army ahead of him. The first thing I want to look at this morning is, who does Saul seek? First of all, he seeks the Lord. Look at verse 6. When Saul inquired of the Lord, we say, great, He did the right thing. He inquired of the Lord. But it says the Lord answered him not. The commentary on Saul's relationship to the Lord at this point is too little, too late. Why did the Lord not answer Saul? I think we can go back to chapter 15, verse 17, where it says, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king." You see, Saul disregarded God's commands, and other times when he should have looked to God, he did not. Saul thought he could be a successful king in his own power and his own wisdom. But when the time came that Saul really needed the Lord, Saul had already cut off the lines of communication by his rebellion and his disobedience and stubbornness. He sought the Lord in many ways. He sought him by Urim. He sought him by the prophets. He sought him by dreams. Heaven was quiet. There was no answer. Secondly, we see in verse 7, Saul sought the Lord, but nothing happened. No answer came. So what does Saul do then? Secondly, Saul seeks counsel of a witch. Verse 7, it says, "And then said Saul unto his servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up, whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards, and out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. So Saul seeks a witch, and Saul had just gotten rid of all those who were dealing in witchcraft just a short time before this, back in the same chapter, back in verse 3. He gets rid of all those that are dealing with witchcraft and all those that are dealing with sorceries. So why does he go back to them for counsel? Was the thing that he did previously just a kind of a facade? Why did he go back to a witch for counsel? Well, I believe it shows Saul's true heart. Let me read a passage in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. It says, For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know, you can give a pig a bath, but where is that pig going to return once he gets back into the pen? He's going to wallow in the mire again. Why did Saul return back to evil? Because there was really no righteousness, there was really no godliness to speak of in Saul's life. This passage in 2 Peter talks about someone like Saul. They have known the truth, even gave the impression they were accepting the truth. But when it came down to the test of their true faith, they were still found to be without Christ. So Saul seeks out a witch to give him counsel, but the message he receives is even more disastrous than he expected. Look at verses 13 through 20. The king said unto her, Be not afraid. Actually, go to verse 12. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, Be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, What form is he of? And she said, An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and answereth me no more. neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, saying, The Lord has departed from thee, and has become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand, and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then Saul fell straightway all along the earth, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day nor all the night. So Samuel spells out Saul's tragic end in verses 16 through 19. He says, The Lord's departed from you, Saul. The Lord is not with you right now anymore. He says, the Lord has become your enemy. That would be a scary place to be, when the Lord is against you. He says, Saul, the Lord's become your enemy. The kingdom has been rent from you, Saul. God has given it to David. All this because of your willful disobedience to God. And then he says, you and your army will fall to the Philistines. And then the final blow, he says, you and your sons will be with me this day. You saw, you and your sons are going to be dead by the Philistines. Have you ever received news from someone that made you feel like you've been kicked in the stomach, beat with a baseball bat and left for dead, or wishing you would die? That's where Saul was. He saw the host of the Philistines back in verse 5, and it says he was afraid. But if you look at verse 20, he hears a message from Samuel, and it says he was sore afraid. This troubled him even more than seeing the host of the Philistines, because God's judgment was coming down on him in a severe way. Why? Because of his disobedience, because of his rebellion, because of his stubbornness. It affected him so much that he couldn't stand. He fainted. He fell over because he couldn't stand on his feet. He was so weak. Sometimes we receive a message from someone and there's nothing we can have done to change the outcome. But the difference in this situation is that the things that Saul was facing here could have been avoided if he had simply obeyed. He wouldn't have had to face all these things if he would have simply obeyed God. In verse 18, because thou hast obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Samuel says, Saul, it's because of your disobedience. It's because of your rebellion. It's because of your stubbornness that these things are coming upon you. Saul sought the Lord and nothing happened. Saul sought a witch. God's judgment was proclaimed against him. So I ask ourselves this question this morning, who will we seek? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. It says, But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. And I believe that word, that phrase, seek him with all thy heart, is a key phrase there. You see, Saul sought the Lord, but he only did it to get himself out of a bind. God knew his heart. God knew his motive. God knew he wouldn't continue to seek him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. You know what? That promise was given to Israel. But the principle of that promise we can apply to ourselves today. If we as individuals will confess our sin, will turn to the Lord, will seek the Lord, he will forgive us our sin, he will cleanse us from unrighteousness, according to 1 John 1:9, and we can be restored to fellowship with him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. First Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Psalm 105, verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. According to these verses, we are to always be seeking the Lord. Always. So what does that look like? We try to read God's word and take God's word, and we learn a lot from it, but what does that look like in my life? When you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? Well, first thing is try to get out of bed. But what's the first thing you do once you're up and around? Do you read the newspaper? Do you turn on the news? Do you check social media? Can I encourage and challenge you to the first thing we need to do in the morning is to check our spiritual mailbox? See, God has written a letter to us. It's all that we need to know to live life. And if we'll read this first, if we'll seek the Lord first, when we do read the newspaper, when we do watch the news, we'll be better prepared in our heart and our mind to respond to those things. As we go throughout the day and we face difficult situations, as we deal with difficult people, and there are some out there, or have a crisis in our day, where do we turn? Psalm chapter 18, verse 6. Let me show you where David turned. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Psalm 118, verse 5. Psalm 118, 5, it says, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. And then over in Psalm 120, verse 1, in my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And isn't that a comforting phrase? And he heard me. You see, Saul cried out to the Lord, but there was no answer. Who do we seek? As we finish the day, how do we unwind? Do we feed our flesh because, well, we've had a hard day and so we just need to let go and mush out? Or do we do those things that are honoring to the Lord? Do we seek him continually? Psalm 34, verse 10 tells us when we seek the Lord, we will not have any unmet needs. Psalm 34, 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want will not need any good thing. God will meet our needs, but we must seek him. Psalm 23, verse 1, David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't have any needs because the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is going to take care of me. We learned in Sunday school about how David protected the sheep from a bear and a lion. You go to John chapter 10 and we see the difference between a true shepherd and an hireling. What was it? The shepherd just stays there to protect the sheep. The hireling takes off and runs when a wolf comes or when danger comes. David sought the Lord. But I believe this isn't a prosperity promise. Seek the Lord and you'll not need anything. That's not a promise of prosperity. I believe it's a change of perspective. You see, when we seek the Lord, we realize who God is. We realize that he is all sufficient. Our view of our other needs changes. And we say, God, I have this need. And then we look to him and he says, I can meet all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that need right there that I have becomes more insignificant because I have a God of all resources, a God of all things that can meet my needs. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25. I love verse 8. The end of verse 8 says, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. But look at verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6. says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And what does the Bible tell us? Having what and what, let us be there with content. Having food and raiment. So what does it tell us about everything else? It's a blessing. The needs here are food and raiment. And he's going to meet those needs. He tells us right here. But all those other things are an extra blessing. The house that I live in is an extra blessing. Because I could be living in a cardboard box somewhere. The car that I drive is an extra blessing. The things that I'm able to do are a blessing. The strength that he gives me each day are a blessing. He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Can you imagine that? All the glory that Solomon had in the temple and all the glory that he had in his reign, and yet the way God clothes the flower of the field is more majestic, more beautiful than even that. Yet I say unto you, well, verse 30, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He says we're to seek the Lord first. We're to seek him primarily. Proverbs 28, verse 5. Proverbs 28, 5, it says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. He says here that we will have God's wisdom when we seek the Lord. When we seek the Lord, we will understand what we need to understand. We'll understand the truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. So being spiritual means we're seeking the Lord. We're walking with him. We're fellowshipping with him. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we need to seek the Lord. Another passage is Isaiah 55, verse 6. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It tells us that the time to seek the Lord is today. Saul sought the Lord, but it was too late. One commentary says it this way, how tragic was Saul's condition. It reminds us of others who spend their lives in rejection of the Lord and refuse to own his claim on them. Some imagine that they can have the best of this world and the next. They plan to live for the present, satisfy the desires of the flesh, and then just before they die, confess their sins and be saved for all eternity. How little such people understand the course of sin. It hardens the heart until repentance becomes impossible. Their end is like Saul's, joyless, helpless, and hopeless. If there's someone here this morning that's saying, I'm going to live it up, I'm going to do what I want, and then in the end, I'm going to turn to God. No, you won't. No, you won't. Because your heart is going to be so hardened by sin, you're not going to be willing to humble yourself. And if you're like that this morning, please humble yourself today. The time to seek the Lord is today. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, and this is an interesting passage. 2 Chronicles 15, how important it was for these people to seek the Lord. 2 Chronicles 15, 12 and 13. King Asa was reigning at this point, and King Asa was a good king. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And he and the people, this says, they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. I'm sorry, verse 12. They entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. But look at this, verse 13. That whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. It was so important for them to seek the Lord and encourage others to seek the Lord that it was a crime worthy of death in their eyes, because God was so important to them at that time. It was important to seek the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25 is the same verse. It says the same thing. There is a way seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You say it seems kind of harsh that the Israelites would make that proclamation that anybody who didn't seek the Lord would be put to death. Why so harsh, right? So rigid. But what is the end of seeking our own way? It says the end thereof is the ways of death. How much better to seek the Lord and have life than to trust in ourselves and face an end like Saul. I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 where we started. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 1, it says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live. And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it. Ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. Ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive every one of you this day." See, Baal Peor signifies the world, typifies the world. He says, you see what happened with all those people that followed the world, that followed ungodliness? God destroyed them. But because you have followed the Lord, because you have cleaved to the Lord, God has spared you and you are alive today. I encourage you this morning, let's seek the Lord continually. Let's seek his face evermore. Let's seek his face today. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would search our hearts this morning. Father, I pray that we would seek you in every area of our lives. We would seek your face continually. We would seek your face daily, throughout the day, from morning till noon till night. Father, help us to be a people that is always looking to you to guide us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to help us. Father, I pray that you would just be honored and glorified through our lives as we go through this week. May you be lifted up because we're looking up to you. We thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen.